Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to the 8th episode of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. So, announcements this week.
Mm-hmm.
We had quite a bit of people cast, I would say. Now, two of the people that were officially announced this week were kind of teased last week, mm-hmm. but they were officially announced this week.
Yes, and I think we've done this in the past here on the podcast, but we definitely don't want to
prematurely announce someone. We like to wait until they are 100% official before.
Whether it's from Stars, they usually come not too far after each other or away from each other. But whether it's Diana who announces them or Stars. If Diana does announce someone, Stars comes not too far behind typically. But yeah.
So this week we got Gelly was cast.
Gellis Duncan. Uh-huh. Gelly.
And a beautiful Dutch lady.
Very beautiful.
Her name is Lotte, I believe it's Verbeek. Verbeek?
We're going to go with Lotte Verbeek. It may be, if the double E is the same as in German, it might be Lotte Verbeek, but because we can't ask her and we didn't do the research about Dutch pronunciation, we're going to say Lotte Verbeek for now. Or as Americans, we'll just say the V. Lotte Verbeek, yeah.
Like James Vanderbeek, just let it squish his name
just
together.
A little.
Verbeek.
Yeah.
And I think most recently she was seen on, or I guess most famously I'd say, was on The Borgias,
mm-hmm.
As Giuliana Farnese, I believe.
Giulia Farnese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I obviously didn't watch the series.
No,
obviously did.
I saw a few episodes. I'm just going by the Italian pronunciation.
She just likes to make me look bad.
Never. And was there anything else that, she's been in a lot. We're looking through her profile and it looks, I think that's the thing she might be most well known for to American audiences.
Right. Probably. That's what I think. A lot of her stuff is foreign films. So yeah, most of them are foreign. I think probably most American audiences would best remember her from The Borgias. We also got our Reverend Wakefield,
mm-hmm.
who I just love this actor. Everything I've seen him in, I've loved him in. Even when he plays kind of a jerk in Sense and Sensibility. I just think he's such a great character actor. His name is James Fleet. You would know him from The Vicar of Dibley. He played Hugo.
That's what I remember him or know him from the best. I've seen him in a number of other things, but this one, he's just such a good comic actor. It's crazy. I mean, The Vicar of Dibley, there was not one episode where I did not just laugh my backside off. And so
he was
that was
just kind of like a giant child on that show, which I thought was,
yeah. And he married another giant child. They're very, very entertaining.
He was also in Sense and Sensibility, Four Weddings and a Funeral, numerous BBC television series. We're excited to have him join the Outlander family. And finally, we also got confirmation that Laura Donnelly was cast as Jenny.
Jamie has a sister.
She's so pretty. I wish there was a color picture, though.
That's true. It's black and white, but she's gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, every picture that I've seen of her, even on any website for that matter, is in black and white. I don't see anything that has her in color.
The picture we're seeing on IMDb as well, I think it's the same one that the Stars used. She's gorgeous, but she looks like a little Spitfire.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what Jenny is. So we're very excited to see her.
And she is relatively new. I mean, there's not a lot of stuff. There's a few TV series that she's been in, but they all look like BBC stuff as well.
So she's British as well? She's English?
Yeah, she's Irish, actually.
Oh, she's Irish. Oh, that's right. So James Fleet was English, mm-hmm. is English. Laura is Irish. And Lotte
is Dutch.
That's actually something a number of people... I wondered this, but I did not partake in any conversations on Facebook or Twitter about this. But I did see mentioned a number of times, and I have to admit, I am very curious. Gellis is Scottish. And the Scottish accent is not known, my opinion, but is not known to be the easiest for a native English speaker to do who is not British or who is not grown up hearing that. Again, I'm not talking about actors and actresses who are trained and people who can afford it just for kicks. But for someone who's a non-native English speaker, it'll be interesting. I'm just curious. I wish her the best, and I do expect the best because this is an outstanding cast. And of course, I believe that they will do a brilliant job. But I have to admit, I'm curious about that accent thing.
So some bad news this week. It's not even really bad news.
A little disappointing, maybe.
Disappointing news then?
A little, like, you're holding your breath. We're all collectively holding our breath, I think, until this comes out because we're so excited. And it's a little bit of a, not a deflation of our excitement, but a little bit of a small exhalation of disappointment.
Well, here's the thing. When I think back, I can't remember where I heard that they were saying it would be premiering in April. I don't remember where I heard that. And I don't know that I could find it if I wanted to find it. However, that was just kind of what everyone was saying was April. So that was the assumption we all made. And apparently this week, Diana answered on a CompuServe that she herself, I don't believe, has heard April. But what she heard from various stars individuals, and I think probably also from Ron himself, was that the words being tossed around were late summer and July and August. So it looks like we've been pushed back, if it was ever really in April to begin with.
The reason, and I agree, I don't think we ever had an official April date from stars or from anyone in the production side, but we did hear, I know for a fact, that the book was pushed out to coincide
with the premiere.
Now, not that Diana Gabaldon wouldn't have wanted this extra time for the book, but and this part I could be incorrect on, but wasn't the book, because a lot of people have said they were disappointed the book was pushed out so far, because the book was due this fall or December. And when people heard about it being pushed out, the reason given was that it was intended to March, not April, intended to coincide at least somewhat with that. And I believe that is where people, including ourselves, took the April-ish debut.
True. And also, I'm kind of glad they're pushing it back.
Well, I'm not.
As far as that's concerned, because I don't want them to release a book that I need to read at the same time that a series starts. I don't have time for both.
Yes. As far as the timing, I wouldn't have time for both either. Am I happy about the July-August? No. But that doesn't mean that, of course, I'm going to wait for it. But it's not about being happy or sad. It's about them doing what they need to do so we get the best possible series. So there's no question about that.
On the good note, I guess it's kind of a good note. It could be, depending upon if you really enjoy speeding through everything. This does give us some extra time to dedicate to the read-along so that we can go more in-depth with the chapters. So starting next week, I think we're going to push it back to one chapter a week. So that should get us out closer to the start date of the series and also give us more time to be more detailed about the chapters as we go along.
Yeah, it will allow more time for discussion. And as we add in various episodes, as opportunities for interviews come up, we won't feel as if one episode gets really extra long. It still could definitely be more than 30 minutes, but we're going to do our best not to hit an hour. Not regularly, anyway. But hey, if it's an hour because we have an interview, we're not going to shorten the interview.
The goal, however, is to also not discredit either. Like,
not to rush either.
Each should have their own focal point so that it's not like, oh, well, this week we just threw away the read-along and and didn't concentrate on anything because we had this interview, as opposed to, you know, this week we cut the interview down to nothing because the read-along was so much fun. So we just want to make sure that we give... We don't do a disservice to either.
And it'll be easier if it's a little bit less, I guess one less chapter.
Correct. So on to the read-along this week. This week we had chapters 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
These were some very, I think they were, I really like these chapters. We get to see a little bit more of Castle Leok and a few more of the inhabitants there.
And it wasn't as, there's always drama in the chapters. You will never have a chapter without drama. But compared to what's gone on since almost the beginning of the book, there's a little bit less. So I'm not saying there's nothing, but compared to all their traipsing around and fighting and
it's not life or death. It's not life or death drama that we are up against this week. So I don't know. I think to a degree, I mean, when you look back over the books, you can see that there were the periods of peace that Jamie and Claire enjoyed. This was, I think, another one of the periods of peace
that Claire maybe enjoyed.
Well, though, to be honest, that is a period of peace for Jamie.
We'll get to it.
Well, anyway.
That's fine. So in chapter 5, yes, Claire meets Dougal. Excuse me. Claire meets Colm, the Mackenzie, hence the name. And she is brought some, finally is getting some garments of the day. She's brought some garments by Mrs. Fitz and is taken to meet Colm. And she gives her story to Colm and presents herself as having been attacked and her manservant having been killed. And then she was come upon by Blackjack Randall, et cetera, et cetera, and then found by Dougal and his men. And she also says that, she does not say she was found by Dougal and his men. She says that she was kidnapped by Dougal. And he kind of laughs a little and says, yes, well, Dougal can be impetuous at times. So during this meeting, they chat. They feel each other out. And at one point, he leaves his inner sanctum. And she, I hear you, girl. Claire, if I were you, I'd do the same thing. Goes rifling through his desk to try and find anything with a date, a written date on it. Finally, she finds a date of, I don't know if it's that day or soon around there.
Well, it was like April 20th. It was like a half-written missive or letter that he'd started that he hadn't finished yet. So she had to assume that it was very recent,
but I'm just saying it may not have been that day.
Right.
But it was dated April 20th, 1743. So she just, I think she just wanted, she knew she wasn't in her time. She just didn't know the exact year, time.
And I think she also wanted confirmation.
Exactly.
Confirmation.
Exactly. So she gets it and then puts the stuff back. And the chapter ends basically with her being told by Colm, while I find out who you really are,
right,
you're a welcome guest here at Leoc. Of course, guest in quotes.
Well, do we want to touch on the fact that Colm is severely disfigured?
Yes. Why don't you talk about how we see Colm through Claire's eyes and then a little bit more about his office?
Well, what's so funny to me is I have this image in my head from the way that Diana's written this of, because she's in his office and she's looking in his bird aviary and looking at all these birds and Colm kind of comes in behind her and kind of interrupts her thoughts or whatever. And it's like I can just see her like slowly turning around and like her face looking to where she thinks his head will be.
And then going down.
Like slowly
going down. Like an elevator.
Adjusting her vision, her line of sight until she comes into contact with his body. But
poor Colm.
But so apparently his like upper torso, like from the waist up, is normal size, but he's just got like short, disfigured legs. Is that how
I know right? He is shorter than he would have been if he didn't have Toulouse-Lautrec syndrome. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not sure if she described it here or later on in the book, but when he was younger, he was
normal.
He was normal. So it didn't start showing up, I guess, until his early teens or just before he started.
I don't know if they mentioned it yet, but I think he was in a horseback riding accident.
Oh.
And then he just never recovered from it.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you're right. The accident obviously did not cause his illness.
No.
But his accident, he broke some bones and he never healed back really well from there.
Correct.
And it was his condition that made him, I believe, made it so easy for him to break bones. Although, who would maybe not break a bone if you fall off a horse? That's a whole different conversation. You're right. He never properly healed. And it was at that time that I guess it began to
present.
To manifest. I guess he didn't grow anymore, but or any growing he did do was not in height. It would have been maybe his bones grew or didn't. So she meets Colm, and you've already said he has a bunch of birds.
Does it specify what kind of birds?
I'm not sure, but
She's really more into plants than birds.
She is, but it's interesting because it's another... It's a way Colm has surrounded himself by beauty and by...
Finches, buntings, tits, and several kinds of warblers.
So a good number of birds that he keeps with him to, it kind of, I guess, bring the outside in, the outdoors in. He's greatly respected, but I got the feeling that he feels better in his office. Because he's not the one to go out. He's not the war leader. Mm-mm. That's Dougal. But he's the brains. He is the Mackenzie. I think part of him bringing in the birds and bringing in the tapestries and the beauty is so he has that inner sanctum for himself.
Diana's description is beautifully modeled head and long torso ended in a shockingly bowed and stumpy legs. Mm.
So they bowed.
Yeah. And it says, the man who should have topped 6 feet came barely to my shoulder. And she was... 5'6"
in the novel.
So that would make him like 5'3".
I mean, her head is more than 3 inches tall.
Came to her, but if he came to her shoulders, so if I'm 5'4", and he comes up to my shoulders, he's got to be like
4 something. Because you have more than 4 inches of head, is what I'm saying. So yeah, he was a little man.
It's very short. I wonder how they're gonna film that.
I'm pretty sure it's gonna be CGI. Yes.
Well, to a degree. I mean, they can do some things with prosthetics, but he has to be able to walk on them. So do you think they're going to like put him in like a green screen, that stuff?
Good question.
I don't know. We'll have to wait.
And now we're waiting until July or August.
That might be a birthday present for you.
Oh, that's true. That would be very, oh gosh. Could you imagine if my birthday is on a Sunday or I don't know why I'm convinced of this, but I just have this feeling from the very beginning, I have thought this show will be on a Sunday evening because of, you think about it, True Blood,
Game of Thrones,
Sunday night's a big night.
I think Sunday nights, they generally pick Sunday nights because there's nothing going on Sunday nights. People don't generally go out on Sunday night.
True.
So they don't want to put it on a Friday night because Friday night is the night everyone goes out. Saturday night, they also go out. So nobody puts any real programming on Saturday nights. And they don't really want to compete with network television, which is why they don't put original programming on in the middle of the week. So that leaves you generally with Sunday. Now, they could totally prove us wrong and put this up some other night of the week. And I'll still watch.
Well, if we can't watch, it'll be DVR'd. That's all I can say.
It'll be DVR'd anyway.
It'll be DVR'd maybe forever. As soon as it is available, it will be purchased.
So
as soon as it's available, I will be getting the DVDs, as I'm sure you will be too.
I don't know if I'll buy them in the beginning or if I'll wait
and for some gift pack or something.
Yeah, the end. Because if I have them all on my DVR.
Oh, I don't mean right away. I mean after this first season.
No, I know. I'm just saying if I have them as I go on the DVR so I can watch them anytime I want.
That's a lot of DVR.
Don't be jealous.
No, I'm not jealous. Just... So that was basically chapter 5.
Right. So chapter 5 ended with him basically saying, hey, you have the free roam of my place until I find out who you really are.
Yes. You're our guest.
It's very, it indicates that he literally believes nothing she has to say.
Yeah.
So she did not pull the wool over Mr. Colm's eyes.
And chapter 6?
Chapter 6 begins with dinner.
And then shortly after that, I guess it's the next day, she's brought even more, I don't say more finery, but she's brought finery by Mrs. Fitz to what Diana says is what a Scottish lady would have.
Right, but let's go back to dinner for a second.
Oh.
The poor lady is always being served herring.
Oh, that's true.
Like everywhere she goes. 5 chapters, any meal is a herring of some form. And maybe that's what happens in Scotland, but I was not offered herring when I was in Scotland. I was only there for like a week though, but was herring a big thing when you were there?
I must have gone to the wrong places, but I mostly ate either in the dining hall or in the dorm. So I don't remember herring anywhere, but again, I'm vegetarian, so it wouldn't have been an option for me anyway. But yeah, so something else that was funny about the dinner was she noticed that spoons were used everywhere. And She was...
No forks.
No forks, because apparently they weren't that commonly used at that time.
Right.
And so she finally, I think she decided just to use her fingers. Take small bites and be careful.
People were using spoons and their dirks.
Yes, and she did not have a dirk. And they probably would not have given her one if she had asked. So she has dinner, and then the next day she is... Oh, no, sorry. At dinner, she asks about Jamie, because Jamie's not there.
Correct.
She asks about Mr. McTavish. And Letitia, I think... Is that Colin's wife?
Yes.
Letitia looks up and says, like, who? And Colin...
One of them comes in and says, he means young Jamie.
Yeah, young Jamie. So since that's a little bit of a hint that... I mean, come on. Letitia knows who Jamie is. Everyone there knows who Jamie is. But she didn't recognize the name. So the reader is given the first hint, maybe? The first hint? I'm not sure if it's...
That he may also be in hiding?
Well, either in hiding or that at least they don't want Claire to know. The people there at the castle know who Jamie is. He lived there.
Of course they know who he is.
But it is all a ruse for her sake. So whether it's because he's in hiding or... Yeah, I guess it has to be that. Because it's just one person. It's not like they changed the whole clan's name just for them, just for her sake. So that's another interesting thing, is that she still thinks that it's Jamie McTavish.
It's true, but then they also show that they don't trust him either. Because Dougal states that he's down. He sent him down to the stables to help old Alec with the horses. And then Colum, she says, seemed dubious. The stables, you trust him so far. Mm. So there's also maybe a little bit of lack of trust with them as well. So it's almost like both Claire and Jamie are in precarious positions within the clan.
Or at least at Leoc, yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie within the clan, maybe. We'll find out later if he's exactly part of the clan. And Claire as a noted guest. So
as an English guest. They were very specific.
Well, we haven't gotten to Hall yet. But yeah, so the next day she goes to Hall. This is where she's brought even more finery by Mrs. Fitz. And
I was disturbed by what they used to darken their eyelashes. Lead combs. It said they darkened their eyebrows and eyelashes with lead combs.
I can't really comment on that one. I believe you. I just couldn't comment on that.
Seems incredibly dangerous.
She is introduced, as she was told by Colum, she is introduced in Hall as a guest, but as an English woman. And Diana points out that Claire's introduction to the clan, to the castle, is at number 5, which shows that she said it was, which reflected her, the importance of the announcement. So it's important that people there know about her, know that she's English. And of course, they spoke in English for her benefit because a lot of the other proceedings were in Gaelic. And was it right after Claire was introduced or shortly thereafter, Lyra was brought in?
It was shortly thereafter.
Okay, so Lyra, a young girl, about 15, 16?
16, they said.
Lyra, a young, really pretty girl, blonde, is brought in, and she's brought in by, is it by her father or by Angus?
Brought by her father.
Okay, her father brings her in to the Mackenzie for punishment to be given, handed out, or decided upon. She has been
accused of loose behavior.
There we go.
Consorting improperly with young men against his orders.
So whatever that may be, the father asks for her to be punished. Does the father specify what he wants or just ask for her to be punished?
Oh, it was all in Gaelic, and it was just kind of secondhand told to Claire by Miss Fitz.
That's right.
So they never, and she, Claire specifically asks, punished how? And she was just shushed by Mrs. Fitz.
So we don't know how it would have been.
I imagine they would have,
Jamie says later on,
spanked her.
What it made.
Like a public spanking.
That's right. That makes me laugh. But yeah, so at that point, basically Jamie shows up or comes in and says, and this is all in Gaelic, so right. Mrs. Fitz is saying, basically that Jamie shows up and offers to take her punishment for her.
Correct.
And Angus, this is the first time, well, I guess during this scene, we're introduced a little bit to Angus Vore.
Well, I think so.
It's called Wee Angus.
Yeah, they call, and I think that's supposed to be ironic.
Yeah.
But they do call, the only time, and I went through this section several times, because I think that he comes back later, and that's when we find out his last name, but for the purposes of this chapter, we only know him as the executioner and Wee Angus.
Okay, so we believe it's Angus Vore. Correct. And he is the one to mete out punishment. And so Jamie stands there to...
Well, he's given the choice first.
Yeah.
He's well, given but the he choice
stands there to,
of...
He stands there to take whatever it is.
Right.
But he is given a choice of punishment.
Right, and I believe...
Or weapons.
No, he's given a choice between, I believe, like being hit with a belt publicly, like a public spanking, or fists. Mm-hmm. Belt or fists, and he chooses fists.
And it's over with. It's actually over with pretty quickly. And, of course, Claire goes to tend his wounds, and so does Mrs. Fitz. And this is the first time we get to see leeches.
And I really think that we should get some leeches. I feel because, like they well, seem a lot more handy than I thought they would be.
And actually, the medical community does use sterile leeches. They yeah. do use them. So they're used, but I guess not that frequently.
Just think about it. Of all the bruises you could avoid... If you just
if
had
you
a leech
it,
at the right time?
Applied it right away, yeah.
I'm just going to start carrying them, like, in a little purse in my... A little, like, jar in my purse for all of my bruises.
So after they do as much as they can.
Right.
Jamie says, thank you, and they go their separate ways. And then, basically, the next day... Or is it the same day?
Oh, it's the next day.
Okay. The next day, Mrs. Fitz shows Claire the herb garden.
Pretty much. You reach the point where once she's realized that... She's going to be staying for a while.
Yeah.
Mrs. Fitz is like, I'm going to put you to work.
You're going
to
work with us.
There will be no idle hands in our castle. You're no longer really a guest to me. Now you're mm-hmm. going to work with... Now you're going to work. Mm-hmm. So she puts her to work in the gardens. Mm-hmm. Planting... I know she plants garlic. I don't know if she was specifically planting the garlic to plant garlic or if she was planting the garlic to ward away other animals from the garden. I think it was maybe a mixture of both.
But she seemed very happy. She went through the entire afternoon or day and just enjoyed herself. It was relaxed. I mean, it's hard work, but she kind of lost herself in it.
That was kind of mindless work for her. Yeah. Something she didn't really have to think too hard about. It was something where she could forget about the circumstances of what was going on with her. She could just focus on like planting little mm-hmm. garlic bulbs.
And then Mrs. Fitz comes to her, right? And says, why don't you take this food to...
No, I think before she went back to the kitchens to do whatever, she had suggested to Claire that that if she wanted to see him, because she'd called, they sent young Alec down to bring him back, and he was like, no, I'm not coming back. I'm busy right now. So she said, well, you can take him down lunch, because they may be too busy to come back up here, but they're never too easy to eat their lunch. Mm-hmm. So she sent young Alec back to her in the gardens later with a basket of lunch, and young Alec escorted her down to the stables.
So... She takes the basket of food with follows young Alec down to the stables. Mm-hmm. And when she arrives at the stables, Jamie's really ticked off because he's almost killed by a mare who kind of...
She was startled. The mare was startled by the arrival of the new people.
And she did kind of hit him up against the side of the stable.
He was going to be angry about it, of course, until he realized who it was. And then
his face changed and he's like, oh, it's Claire. And they have a little chat. Well, he eats. They eat, right? The two boys eat?
I don't think.
Oh, yeah, young Alec
she
left?
Ate with him, yeah.
So then they ate and they chatted. Jamie relayed a story of when he was in hiding? No, not in hiding. When he ate grass.
Yes, he was talking about
They were on the land for some reason.
He says he was living rough in the woods with a group of lads raiding over the border. And they'd had poor luck for a week and had no food amongst them. So he'd resorted to eating grass. I don't really want to talk about grass.
Me either. So then after that, they end their meeting, their lunch tryst. And she's making her way back to the castle and she realizes what?
That she had such a good time having lunch with him that she completely forgot to check his shoulder, which was the entire reason she went out to begin with. I think indicates that there is something a-brewing between the two.
Yes, she enjoyed herself so much that she forgot about what is her main calling.
Correct. So next week we're going to be shifting to our new schedule, if you will, to one chapter a week. So next week we're going to focus on chapter 7, titled Davy Beaton's Closet. And I hope you will all get your reading done and join us for that.
So that's about all the time we have this week for episode 8. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous audio host, audioboom.com. Our Audio Boom channel is www.audioboom.com/channel/OutlanderPod. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at OutlanderPod. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/OutlanderPod or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com.
That my young love